listening to another edition of Queer State of Mind live on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm Ori Givens. Coming up on the program, we are going to be talking all the tea that you've missed over the past couple weeks. We've been off the air, but we are back and we are live. So join us for a new edition of Queer State of Mind starting right now.
Live from Bushwick, Brooklyn in New York City, this is Queer State of Mind on Radio Free Brooklyn. Powered by the Queer Minded Radio Network, with Ori, Seydou, Chinwe, Justin, and Taran. Join the conversation and tell us how you feel on Twitter at QSOMNYC, on Facebook at facebook.com/queerstateofmind, or send us a text or voice message to 917-472-1224 using the keyword QSOM. That's 917-472-1224, keyword QSOM. Now it's time to get into a queer state of mind with this week's brunch tea segment, live only on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Hey y'all.
Good morning.
How y'all doing?
Great.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back, everyone.
I know. It's been so long.
It has. We are so glad to be on the air with y'all. You're listening to Queer State of Mind live on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm your host, Ori Givens. Join me in the studio is Miss Seydou Carmo. Hi.
Good morning. Good morning.
Miss Justin Blakey. Hi.
Hey, darlings.
I know I had to get the full names because we've been gone for a minute, but now we back. Ooh, that's what we should have played, the jump off. Yes.
Oh,
dang. Yeah. So how y'all been doing?
Oh, great.
Actually, I've been missing the show. I'm
yeah, I know. It's weird when you so get used weird. To your routine and everything.
Especially, girl, when you get older.
Right. It's like, you know, that Saturday is like locked in now. It's like, that's what we do it on Saturday been. Mornings. But you know. It was nice to have a little bit of a break. Nice to be off the air. Although we did still put shows up. But, yes. You know, it was a little bit of a different experience. I got to listen back, you know, get to show up at 6 o'clock in the morning, then listen back, see what's going on. So how y'all been? I've been out of New York for a while. I'm back in New York,
been
too.
Been OHIO, right?
Wait, and yes, back in the great state of OHIO.
O-H-I-O.
Yes. So always after coming back from Ohio, I'm so glad that I live in New York City. And I'm happy because we're finally in the process of moving my BF, the boyfriend, to New York City.
Oh, my God. And
how is he? Still white?
Yes, still white. See? Still white, but still woke. White and woke. More woke than some black folks out there. So, I mean, he is. So, yeah, we're in the process of doing that. Just got a new apartment.
Nice.
Yes. Very exciting.
What part of town, girl?
Flatbush, girl.
Oh, you in Queens, bitch? Girl,
oh, shit.
Ooh, shade.
I don't know.
Shade.
But that's close to Queens, isn't it?
No.
No.
We are closer to Queens right now.
I know, girl. I live here. I live in Bushwick. I don't know anything around
me. She's trying to throw shade.
I was not trying to throw
it's
shade.
It's okay, because according to the New York Times, Bushwick has gone out of vogue. Literally, they just...
I don't believe in using the New York Times as an arbiter of anything useful well, or stylish or Vogue.
Well, ever since Vogue magazine said we were the 7th hippest neighborhood in the world, the actual Vogue magazine, where Anna Wintour said that, I'm good
did
with
she
that.
She said that?
Did,
she said
Anna
that.
Say
or
that?
Did an intern
she
say
on
that?
Aid, on air?
No, Anna said it.
Did she?
Yes, she did.
Are you talking about MA?
No, I'm talking about Anna Wintour, honey. Look it up, bitch. Look it up.
Can you... Speaking of Anna May, I don't know if I told y'all, but... Tina Turner's music has just been on my, like, I don't know, like, for some reason, after the first year, I was just really feeling Miss Tina, so I've just been listening to her, like, best, like,
sorry,
hits.
I just choked a little bit when you said I've been getting my life to Miss Tina.
I have, but not that one, the other one. The musician, Tina Turner.
I just got it.
Tina Turner.
Not
yes.
Tina Turner,
not
honey.
Miss Crystal, honey.
No,
oh, honey.
No, we don't
Crystal
do
Leanne Mithal.
No. Crystal Leanne. Man.
All right. So, a lot of shit has happened since we've been gone, huh?
What teen have you been getting your life to?
Well, I love Nutbush City Limits. That's my favorite song. She of goes course. So wow. Uh-huh. And there's a couple ones that I didn't really know very well.
Oh, you know about Sexy Ida?
No, because she looked those deep beat tracks. Don't fuck with her.
Not deep beat. Not deep on the B side.
You know about Sexy Ida? Funkier than Mosquitoes Tweeter?
No.
Oh, girl, that is...
I told you, girl, deep beat track.
Yeah, I mean, apparently I need to get more deeper into the Tita.
You know her family's from Kentucky, from the country.
Ooh, see.
They are.
They are.
You're from the old country.
Yes, I'm just in
the old country. Liberia.
So let me tell you, speaking about... Okay, so you had posted something
yes,
the
I
other
did.
Day.
Yes, I did.
About, like... Oh, gosh.
What about Oprah Gail Winfrey?
Yeah, Oprah yes. Gail Winfrey. Yes, I did. You silly. and her Liberian heritage.
Yes, I did.
So that, like, spurred this really, like, interesting 30-minute exploration on my part, because I'm a linguist, right? So, yes. Like, I was really interested, like, because you said that she was, I don't know how to pronounce it, Kapele?
No, you see, oh.
Come on. Teach us, girl, teach us.
I didn't want to correct the man because he is a doctor, but it's just Pele.
Pele, okay. So
it's all of this. There's okay. No... The K is not pronounced. It's just the Pele tribe. I think what happens when people see hard consonants in uh-huh. African dialect, forgetting that Liberia alone has 16 dialects, mm-hmm. people yes. start to click. Well, we don't click.
No, and I think that's definitely fair. And the way that a lot of those sounds are written
yeah.
in, like, in Roman dialect. So, like, written in a yeah, Roman script, it's a KP, but that's one sound.
Yeah,
it's basically a stop yes. that starts at the beginning of a word.
Absolutely.
And we don't really have a lot of stops that start at right. the beginning of yeah. our words in right. English.
It took me a minute to, like, to realize what he was saying. I was like, I went to all 16 tribes in my house. Okay, it's the Bassa people, the Vai people, the Gribble people. I was like, the Pele people. I said, he meant Pele people.
Mm-hmm.
But he put Kapele.
Yeah. Like, well, okay. when you like, transliterate's not necessarily the right word.
Right.
But when you, basically, when you write it, it's not written for people that know the language. It's written for people that don't.
You know what's so funny? My father, get this, I swear to God, Oprah was his girlfriend. He said, oh, that's my girlfriend. She's so beautiful. She reminds me of a beautiful Liberian woman. My father always used to say
so
that.
He must have known.
He knew.
He knew. That's so one funny. For us, honey.
That is funny.
So question. So was it Armo always Carmo? Like, is your K always pronounced too? Or was it like Armo or something?
No, because my name is Middle Eastern. My name was okay. Carmoon.
Mm.
And then right. they cut off the O and N because it said it sounded too Muslim, mm-hmm. so they made it Carmo.
Okay.
So funny my how name that. Was actually a Muslim name mm-hmm. by thing. But it wasn't an African name part. It's an African name, but yeah. you know, in that part of the world, much like here, how Christian names dominate, mm-hmm. no matter what faith
right.
you are,
yeah.
Islamic names dominate that. So it was Carmoon. Mm-hmm. And my father went to Christian school to say, you sound too Muslim, because his name was Lahai Carmoon. So they took out the O and N and then they named mm-hmm. him Benjamin.
Huh. That's so interesting. That is so interesting.
Yeah, but it's so, the same thing yeah. that happened to a lot of people that came here. If your name yeah. sounded too ethnic, they would nationalize.
They did that at Ellis Island.
Yeah.
A lot of those mm-hmm. families.
A lot of people.
Like the drums.
The drums. That's where that came
well,
from.
I'm just saying, you know.
We're going to get to... I'm not ready for that. I need a few more sips. But let's talk about the Oscars.
Okay.
Because
okay.
that happened. Full disclosure, didn't watch. I was on the way back from
I was asleep Ohio. Due to yeah. circumstances that were beyond my control. Let's put it that way. My sister knows what was going on.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are moments. I'll tell you what my favorite moments were. Tracy Morgan as the Danish girl.
No, stop.
So they're doing this whole package of if Black people were in movies because we don't get roles.
Yeah.
So they just cut these people into these roles. So they're doing a scene from Joy, and she's trying to sell the mop for the first time. And then you see Whoopi Goldberg in the background. Bitch, it's a mop! Talk about the mop! It's not hard. It's a mop, white girl.
Oh, like from Ghost, like, you know, like how much
yeah, well,
to
no, it's like they were playing them into scenes. Mm. And then Tracy Morgan played the Danish girl. He's like, I'm a Black thespian doing a dramatic role. It's like, I'm the Danish girl. This Danish is good, girl. And it starts eating the Danish.
No.
It was cute.
It was so neat to
you
me.
Know, I watched little clips of it. I really liked the joke Chris Rock made about Jada. What yeah. I've been saying the whole entire time.
Maybe you...
But she was not invited to begin with. So, no ma'am.
Yeah.
Whose panties were you talking about with the Chloe
Kardashian? Rihanna's panties.
Oh, well, I don't want to be her either.
I say it once and I say it again and I mean it. I would not want to be anybody of color nominated next year.
Next year. Yeah. I know.
I feel like it should be all white people nominated next right. year again. And like 3 years down the line, give me something. Because I would not beat the GOAT. No, ma'am.
Yeah.
It's so insulting to
you. You're going
to
have Black
artists.
People winning right. like best like everything. Like they're just going to throw up all these people of color just to, yeah. which, you know,
no.
it'll be. But it, I feel I what you're saying
it,
totally.
It's going to happen.
Trust
like,
you're always going to question.
Always there. It's always in the back of your head.
It's an insult to you as an artist. Anybody who is a really serious artist mm-hmm. yeah. who's not in this shit for awards,
mm-hmm.
man, I mean, when you get that award because of your fucking work, it is amazing. Not like, oh, I got nominated, and you know you weren't that good in that part, and you know this white actor was better than you, mm-hmm. and you won the award. You're like, well, but I wasn't good in this part.
But the same way, you know, like I said, the same way we've brought it up before for the actresses that basically are actors, they basically win awards just for losing weight. Or right. gaining weight.
But like right. I said, I think that...
Was that Castaway?
Yeah. I think that everyone yeah. I think everyone nominated for the award this year deserved to be nominated. Everyone who won deserved to win.
Leo finally got his.
The thing about it is, this year wasn't enough roles for people of color to be nominated. So it's not the Oscars. It's the production companies.
Right.
So it should be going after the production companies to make good work, not good Christian work, Tyler Perry. You know... that are dramatic, that, oh, they were good in the talent. No, honey, that's not, no shade, Tyler Perry. You do great, good work for what you do.
He has his audience, and he caters to that audience.
Well,
and
I think that it's really important that we make sure that our people of color get good roles.
Yeah.
And not just black people.
And not just, you know.
Right.
And not, no, that's why I said not just black people.
Yeah.
Because if black people get roles, and then we shut up. That is some selfish shit
selfish. Well, and I think it's really interesting. Like, there was an infographic that went out about Asians in Hollywood. And it was just like, we really, you know, it's like, as a black person, it's like, yeah, we've been struggling and there have been struggles in Hollywood. But how can we fucking talk if there have been, like, there's no leading roles for Asian people?
Wait a minute. Here's the thing. Chris Rock did that whole joke with the Asian kids counting math.
Yeah.
So then the whole level comes down.
Yeah.
If a white person would have done that joke...
Oh, he got some backlash for that. He definitely got red.
I'm just
for that.
Saying that we have to see things like this. We have to look at the whole picture of what we're fighting for, and not be like, "I need you to do this because I am and I'm black. I struggle, but then go and do some fucked up shit to somebody else."
And I think that comes
like,
with
okay.
It comes with not having an intersectional experience. I think because I think when you're like a black male, you understand the plight of being a black male, but you don't necessarily see how misogyny or how all of these other things play into your privilege as a black male.
I wasn't mad at the joke though, because you know my thing is a comedian. You're allowed to do your art. However, I thought it was a good joke. I thought it was funny. He's a comedian, so I wasn't reading it like that. I can see how other people can read it.
Absolutely.
That way.
I mean, if Asian people get no representation and
none.
Had none on the Oscars, and the only thing that they got was representative of them on the whole show was a joke about Chris Rock and kids counting, you know, accountants.
Right.
I'd be pissed too. I'd be absolutely pissed.
I am a Korean woman, honey. Yes, and I was not pleased.
I loved you in Miss Saigon.
So what about Stacey Dash's appearance? Did you guys
see that?
That
was my favorite part.
Well, it was so
inside
awkward.
Joke.
Yeah.
It was such an inside. I thought it was genius because it was, no one understood it. If you weren't black, I don't think you understood
if
how.
If you weren't black and on Twitter during that period of time to understand.
That,
well,
no, just in general, like how funny that is.
I was here for it and I wasn't here for it. I'll tell you what. I was here for it because it was an inside joke. I wasn't here for it because as a comedian, an actor, you got to cater to your audience.
Uh-huh.
So,
and that
me,
wasn't the right
for
audience.
For me, it was bad.
Yeah. And
for
now,
me,
if she had did
bad.
That on like the if it had been on the BET Awards or on the Soul, like I feel like it would have resonated
with
the Soul Train Awards. It would have made a lot more sense.
It didn't make that much. She didn't make that much.
I think the Soul Train Awards for the first year aired on like a major network last year.
Well, it was on VT.
Well,
that's an upgrade. Major
now.
Yeah,
that's
an upgrade.
Viacom. Well, some of the rest
it's
of them might be
Centric,
with us.
It got upgraded from Centric.
Right. But I do think that like if it aired on somewhere else, it would have hit. For me, I was like, I get it, and I thought it was funny when she walked out.
Mm-hmm.
But as an artist, I'm like, that's a bad joke.
Yeah, and I think
crowd.
Most of those people
it's
that
bad.
Were in there, like probably didn't even know all the controversy
and
were confused.
Is that that bitch from Clueless?
They're rich. They were rich.
Here?
They don't know what the fuck the bitch is.
Yeah,
like, who's
had
that?
No idea.
And they're like, is it the 10th anniversary of Clueless? Is that what we're celebrating?
And then I feel like just her delivery of like the like few lines that she was given was just, you know.
I hollered. I thought it was hilarious.
You know what it should have been? It should have been more of a... commentary between the two, like they just had a little conversation, and still kept the joke funny, but put the inside joke in there.
They should have just had Stacey Dash as like the special black correspondent, like that would have been like Daily
that
Show style.
Been funny.
That would have been hilarious.
That would have been hilarious because it's like that's the inside
like,
joke.
And I feel
time.
Like they like shoved her in just to make a point, but like didn't like really.
Which leads me to believe that Stacey Dash is the blackest person in America. So yes, she's gonna get her coin. How she gonna get her motherfucking coin?
I'm not mad about it.
So Dame, Dame Dash still got to pay off those debts.
I would like to have
someone have to help. You help your cousin out.
Like to sit down and have a conversation with her, have a couple drinks, be like, look, girl, look, I mean, was you like, really just trying to get the coin? Like,
you know,
I understand that.
Like,
I understand
like,
that.
It's like, girl, I know your cousin's broke.
No, honey.
No, Dame Dash
just
is broke.
Trying to get
Let's
the
talk
coin.
About that.
Mm-hmm. Stacey Dash is a round the way girl. You're not saying that? She's a round the way
she's
girl.
She's always been a round the way girl.
She's just trying to get her coin. Mm-hmm. She showed up at the Oscars because she said, you know what? I get to go to the Oscars and be an
Oscar. And put on a gorgeous dress and be front and center.
And that hairstyle was beat those ways.
And that's why she showed up.
She should look great.
Let me tell you. She went to the parties afterwards. She kiki damn. She got her life. She made some contacts.
Maybe we all should be a little bit more like Stacey, just a little bit, though.
She's
just
the blackest bitch in the book, honey. I see what you're doing, bitch. I see what you're doing.
Oh, man.
She has her hustle.
You say what the fuck you got to say to get what the fuck you got to get.
Right.
Yeah.
Her hustle was strong. Right.
Now, her last good movie was More Money.
It was Clueless.
No, I thought she was getting that. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're the black chick of Clueless, you know that.
I know that. I'm just being shady.
So... Yes, oh, my gosh. The Grammys were also on since we were gone.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't watch those either.
Okay.
I'm so shitty.
So let's talk about the queen of the basics, Taylor Swift.
Oh, gosh. I saw a girl, I was at
so
a restaurant,
basic.
And I saw this,
her.
My waitress at this restaurant looked like Taylor Swift, and I was just like, I couldn't just stop giving her stank face, because I'm just like,
was she wearing Tory Burch shoes?
I don't know, but she had the little pull-up in the way, and she had her makeup, done, that way,
Taylor Swift
does.
So basic, she tries to be sexy, she's not sexy. She's a nice, pretty, skinny girl from around the way. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Well, and she's not even she's not even the raised up by your bootstraps type of girl that people make her out to be. Like, she's a daughter of wealthy people
that were able to give her
opportunities
in my
that other
need
people
to
don't
be
have.
Fair, I could not take away her win for album of the year.
No.
Her album.
I did, but it is perfect.
And her business sense?
But it's
I'm not mad at either.
It is a cohesive
from the fiscal standpoint,
top album.
But that's the musical. From the fiscal standpoint, the album stay in the top 10 for Billboard for a year.
Yeah. Right.
So, gathering all things together, she did deserve to win the album of the year. Now, would I have liked Kendrick Lamar to win other people? Actually, I wanted Alabama Shakes to win. I didn't want Kendrick Lamar to win.
Yeah.
Not because the Kendrick Lamar work is not good. I think that it's more beneficial to him not to win that album.
Do you think it would discredit the power of that album if he had won?
No, because what would happen is because
it's mainstream legitimizing,
people
and you don't want to do that.
People have this, exactly. People have this thing is when you go mainstream, when you actually become popular, that means you're not for the people anymore, which is disgusting to me. I'm they just became popular. Right. People just like their music now. So I think Alabama Shakes would have been good, but my favorite thing was when Tori Kelly looked at Taylor Swift when she won. Girl, she had this face.
No,
she looked at the bitch.
I love the faces, the award show faces.
Well, you know, that didn't come about till the 70s. They didn't do that before. It was, 1970.
Oh, the cutaway shots to the faces?
The two, yeah. They didn't start doing that 1972 at the Oscars.
Well, because they probably didn't have the technology.
Well, they did. They always had technology. I mean, you can get a camera.
Well, I know, but
to
be able to split between two, you didn't have that ability until about the 70s.
Yeah, and so that's, this is... In terms of award show, this is relatively new.
Yeah.
So.
Oh. I'm going to have to go back and watch the highlights. I was just busy with other stuff. I was just not.
The Alabama Shakes gave a performance.
Yeah.
That was a lot of good performances.
Oh, that's good.
There's a lot of good performances. I mean, Grammy, I always like to perform. Taylor Swift opened the show. Boo. I'd rather die.
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar performance was
great.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I mean,
I did rewatch that.
But I think that sometimes for me.
Was it a little too high concept for you?
No. It was not a concept. I know exactly what concept it was. It just. I'm not caught in my emotions enough to think it's the greatest thing ever.
Well, I didn't say it was the greatest thing ever.
I'm only seeing it from the artistic standpoint. And if I were to break it down, there's things that are better and things that were better. From an artistic standpoint, not from an emotional standpoint.
No,
sometimes people cannot separate that emotion.
But I'm just
art.
Saying, from a pure visceral, gut punching moment.
I didn't think that. That's what I mean. Emotional.
I felt something. I think that's more than I can say for a lot of performances.
That's what I mean. In the emotions of the sense that somebody's talking about Black Lives Matter and you're a black man, so you're of course in your emotions, so you're gonna feel something. I'm just looking at it from a point what kind of performance. I didn't feel anything from it. I thought it was great. I just didn't feel anything from it.
And see, and this is where we disagree because you really like the Gaga Bowie
tribute. But I didn't feel anything from it.
I thought that was disjointed as fuck.
No. I didn't feel anything from it emotionally. Yeah.
Oh,
I thought it was
Gaga,
beautiful. It was like, beautiful artistically because of the
It was visually
That's
art-
what I'm talking
good,
about.
But it stopped there for me.
I'm not taking anything away from that. It's the same thing. I felt the same way about her performance as I did about his.
Okay.
He did nothing for me emotionally. I did not want to get up and put my fist. I just thought it was good.
I think I could buy into both that. I think artists connect with people in different ways.
But that's the way. Honestly,
that's the beauty of
people
art.
Have to realize the thing about being an artist, I'll put this much, and I would never agree with someone who is not really an artist because the first thing we do is go from the technical standpoint before we go to emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to emotion and then you go to technical. That's the way most people think who are not artists. They go to the emotion, what it makes them feel, and then what it does.
Right.
I just look at shit. I'm nitpicking the voice. I'm nitpicking the production, your move.
Well, I
nitpick
realize,
every one of
that. That's anybody. I have to learn how to separate the two because... No. I think for a while I become way too nitpicky, and I wasn't enjoying things
at all. You can't help it.
I can't. It's
when someone's singing a flat note, I can't like be like, "Oh my god, it sounds great!" Like Adele, people thought it was not the microphone; she was flat the whole night because she sings solo in her chest voice. So I can't separate that.
Well, I think everybody kind of has their ways of evaluating based on your expertise. So we'll take this conversation a little bit later. We're going to listen to some music. We'll be right back on Queer State of Mind, only on Radio Free Brooklyn. You're listening to Queer State of Mind, New York City's home for queer people of color to gather and talk. Stay connected with all the tea and more. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/queerstateofmind and follow us on Twitter
at QSOMNYC.
No puedo entender que yo no soy jinete pa' tu montura. Échame un ojo debajo de la cintura y verás. No es cuestión de talla, por lo importante es que nunca me falla. Y bien tú sabes, cuando entro a vestidores, soy en aplauso de todos los sectores. Pues lo que llevo, lo llevo con altura. Lo que tú hablas es chacotera pura. Y woman, no es mi condición. Lo que te falta es un buen revolcón.
What in the world is that fucking thing?
Lo que tú dices no puedo entender.
You need some fucking sweets to put that little thing away.
Oye, woman,
that has got to be the smallest thing I have ever seen in my whole life.
Es hora de hacer temblar las paredes.
Back on, honey.
From Bushwick, Brooklyn in New York City, this is Queer State of Mind on Radio Free Brooklyn, powered by the Queer Minded Radio Network, with Ori, Seydou, Chinwe, Justin, and Taran. Join the conversation and tell us how you feel on Twitter at QSOMNYC, on Facebook at facebook.com/queerstateofmind, or send us a text or voice message to 917-472-1224 using the keyword QSOM. That's 917-472-1224, keyword QSOM. Now it's time to get into a queer state of mind with this week's Brunch Tea segment, live only on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yes. It's all tea, all day, all live here on Queer State of Mind on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm your host, Ori Givens. Join me on the studio, in the studio today. Can't get my prepositions together. Miss Seydou.
I never can, honey.
Miss Justin.
Never
can. Irene.
Yeah.
So, I almost forgot to talk about this, but okay, so I have deemed 2016 the year of the clapback, right? Okay.
Girl.
So it is, the internet has no chill. Like, we had the show about the internet having no chill, and it has just gone.
It is chill free.
Like, it's like everybody's old grandma just got together to just unleash.
Right. And said, hey, girl.
Girls are done, honey.
So recently, those of you that may not know, the trailer for the biopic of the famous Nina Simone hit the internet.
Girl.
Yes. And the Nina Simone is played by Zoe Saldana.
Who is beat.
Who's beautiful.
However.
Great actress. I believe has a decent voice, too. I don't know.
Well, she does do voiceovers. So yeah.
But
great gowns.
One of the big controversies was that Nina Simone was a dark woman. You know, she was a dark woman. She talked about her darkness. She talked about her blackness.
Yes.
It was a part of her, very important part of her. And
Zoe
Saldana is not dark. She's a Latina woman, an Afro-Latina. She is fairer skinned.
Is she Brazilian?
Uh-uh.
Where's she from?
Dominican.
Yeah.
And, you know, she doesn't necessarily identify as a black woman. But beyond that,
it's okay.
Totally okay.
She's not necessarily a
they
black
had
person.
To cake her face in order for her to come off on screen as even kind of appearing like Nina Simone.
I honestly think that, let me put it this way.
Okay. You know what? Let me just put it in here.
You can go first.
Yeah, here's the thing. Because you know how we talk about how girls get upset at the Met for their blackface performances.
Oh, that's not.
I know that's another topic, but I'm saying that's the reason why they got used to get really upset, because it felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's.
Honestly, if she was on stage, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Because you're used to that.
If
it was
on stage,
okay.
What I'm used to. Number two, as a film about a woman who specifically was so enthralled and loved her darkness and her features in that sense that were very...
Yeah, and it wasn't the darkness, it was the lips, it was the fullness of her face.
And celebrated that, too.
Celebrated it, yeah.
That...
And the act of defiance.
It's essential that if she is the central... I wouldn't have even been mad if this was like Nina Simone appearing 5 minutes in a movie about musicians. I wouldn't have been mad about it.
But if it's centered around her.
Centered around that, it has to be...
Well, it's not... Now, here's the thing. The movie's not even centered around her, apparently. It's about... David Oyelowo, being her savior,
but still, she is a prime. Hmm. That's the only thing about it, and it's the fact that she does not need to be, and it's somebody who is very celebrated that way. Like I said, believe it or not, I'm more upset about this than I am about Joseph Fiennes playing Michael Jackson.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Because that makes sense to me that it will cast a white man to play Michael Jackson in his later years.
Oh,
I mean,
that is the truth.
Valid.
But yeah, when your whole conception of self and what you are celebrated for in this act of defiance of I am black with my big nose and my, was it Negro nose and Jackson 5 nostrils?
Yes.
In the face of white standard of beauty, like, bitch, no, this is who I am. And then to have that,
but
the same thing she's fighting against, play her.
But is this still white standard of beauty? Or is it just a standard of beauty now?
Well, I'm talking about a 1960s girl.
Oh, 1960s. Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, when she was, my skin is black.
That's why I hate the word classically beautiful, because I had a friend, we had an argument one day on Facebook about classically beautiful. So classical beautiful is based from a European standpoint.
Yeah.
What is classically
what
beautiful?
Does that mean?
It just only means European aesthetics.
Are talking about Aphrodite or something?
You know, but I love Zoe Saldana.
Venus coming out of a clam.
Zoe Saldana has made her life as a black actress. Let's catch that there.
Right. That is your, that you've got at the end.
She has made her life as a black actress. You know, she's no Ray Dawn Chong. You know.
Ray Dawn Chong.
I know.
She was so beat.
Oh, yes.
But I think that's the thing about that. I think that she should have looked at that and went, no, I'm not going to accept this project because.
Mm-hmm.
But I know why she took it.
Oh, yeah.
Why wouldn't she take it?
No, because.
To prove.
In our head, let me tell you right. If someone like came to him with a movie script and they're like, oh, Seda, you should play this person, that person. You honestly, artists half the time never think in color. You think in character.
Mm-hmm.
Zoe was thinking in character.
Yeah.
She's like, this character is great, and I can play this character,
right.
And I can bring the soul of this character. which she probably can and probably did do. Mm-hmm. Now, she necessarily doesn't look like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in the real world, let's be honest, a film, there are people who are not thinking in that thing. People just see what they see. They see you. And it's seen Nina Simone.
Well, yeah. It's also a visual medium.
That's what I mean. People are not thinking like, oh, hey. Like, I'm probably, if I go watch it, she probably would do an amazing job. And I'll be like, myself. Like, this bitch was like the best Nina Simone there ever would be. And maybe a darker actress would suck.
Right.
Right.
But no, I don't even think anybody's going to give her the credit. Like, they're not even going to give her a chance.
Because she's seen a visual aesthetic. Yeah. And she's in the movie industry. If she was on stage, it would be different.
Well, and I get caught up.
Nina Simone has been on stage. If you saw Soul Doctor, that's what it was about.
That's true.
Yeah.
I know for me, like, I get caught up because I understand why people are upset. And I do feel that, you know, darker skinned actresses tend to get shut out. They tend to get overlooked.
Yeah.
Even when the roles are darker skinned roles. Yeah. So I definitely understand that. I'm kind of happy that it is a person of color, but then again, it's not the right person of color. It's that somebody brought up the same argument when people were mad about J-Lo playing Selena, who is a Mexican-American, and J-Lo's a Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
There was a lot of discussion in the Hispanic community. So the outside world, nobody really knew the difference.
Yeah, they're not interchangeable.
That was a very valid argument.
Yeah, absolutely.
In every way, because they wanted someone who was Mexicano to play someone who was Mexican.
And there are Mexican female artists that could have played that role.
Yes, but then again, as an artist, you don't think about it that way. You really
can you think of a world where J-Lo didn't play Selena? Like, I can't imagine. Like,
it was amazing. And I saw it.
What that did for her career, like, we know J-Lo.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
because now people watch it and enjoy it because she did her art. I think sometimes we have to step back and let the artists do their work. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the same critique happened, with a grain of salt, you know, when Madonna played Eva Perón, that was also the critique of why didn't they cast an Argentine actress or even a Latina, you know, in that role. So I think
to be fair, they do consider themselves European, so.
And Italians, too.
They were casting Madonna from the theatrical standpoint, where Elaine Page, who I love and met, is English. Mm-hmm. Pat LaPone is, I think, Italian.
Italian from Long Island.
So I think that, like I said, when people don't know the world, the basics of the world, it's really hard sometimes to explain to people, like, hey, why aren't you mad about this? I'm not mad about it because I get it. I'm like, I would want to play like, you know, someone who is, you know, I want to play like, not Alexander Hamilton, but what is it? The first president of the United States or somebody white
George
or Einstein.
Washington.
Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to play that. Like, you know, but that's like a stage thing. I can see how that would look crazy visually. You know, so it's...
So kind of what you're saying is, like, people are able... When you're looking at it from a stage perspective, you take some liberties.
Absolutely. Liberties.
And you're used to it.
Who can do the best job?
Right.
Who can do the best job? Like...
He's an opera singer, so he's used to seeing 400-pound women play 16-year-old girls.
LaTanya Moore was just in painted as a... Madame Butterfly. She was a 15-year-old Asian girl. She's like a 300-pound black girl.
Yes.
With her eyes... And she got rave reviews, and people lived.
Like, I just like to see that, personally.
Oh, it happens all the time.
Yeah, all the time, because there's nothing like seeing a 400-pound...
The last Aida they had that was painted, in the brown skin. I almost said blackface, in makeup. She was in makeup. Her name was Hugh Hei. She was Chinese.
Oh.
She was a fat Chinese girl playing an Ethiopian princess.
I think when we talk about costuming and makeup, there's a difference between costuming and makeup and blackface.
Yes.
And I think that it's really, because we're throwing around this blackface or transface or all these things.
Yes.
And there was a very important point additional to just the painting of the face. Yeah. It was the mockery of the culture.
Right.
And I don't necessarily think that inherently because people paint on the face, they're making a mockery of the culture.
Right.
Because when you actually say blackface, I think Al Jolson, Burt Cork on the face white circles.
Yeah, the really black and the
white,
red lips, the really like cherry red. Like that's, I think, the really caricatures.
And the white circle around the lips.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I think when you say blackface.
Like that Sambo figure.
It was so funny because they had, there was an article, I think it was in Italy or somewhere, they had a party that was an African theme party.
Oh yeah, that happens a lot.
I remember
as any girl from Ohio State knows this.
Right,
you know, like that one black guy.
I also went to a redneck party too. There was, we could get around.
But here's the thing: there were some costumes at that party that were phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Like people actually came. People who came with the theme,
mm-hmm.
like in the headdress and the African clothes, and the makeup, and the, I mean, just looking regal.
Yeah.
And then there were a couple of people who came with like the Al Jolson type thing,
uh-huh.
and I'm like, that is right. different from the person next to you right. over here.
Mm-hmm.
Who's actually celebrating these kings and queens and this headdress and everything. You're coming as a mockery actually of black people, mm-hmm. not right. of African. Mm-hmm. You're not actually not doing Africans.
You're doing black people.
You're doing black people. You're not doing Africans.
Right.
So things like that. I mean, it's just, it's such a hard line. And you, did you see this thing about Harry Connick Jr. when he went to Australia?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
So he went to Australia and these guys did the Jackson 5.
Mm-hmm.
And
they completely did
the whole thing.
Okay.
Now, I will 100% tell you, those guys had no racist or ill intentions in their head.
Yeah.
They, honestly, they just, in their mind.
Well, they're right. Australia. They have a whole different set of racism.
That's what I mean. But that's,
yeah. It's a whole
But that's their own, and this is not theirs.
Yeah.
That's their own. So they came out, and they did the and they were like so like into it, like imitating mm-hmm. Jackson 5 and everything. And Harry Connick Jr. was like, this is racist and everything. And I could see the look on their face where it was just like stark. Not like, wow, we haven't really done a good job educating people in general across mm-hmm. the pond and everything. But, I mean, where, I don't know where the line is for flattery
yeah.
versus offense.
Well, you know, really another one person's flattery is another person's offense. Because you
true.
Think about it, it's always about who is making the joke, who is saying the statement.
Right.
Who is, you know, because you may view something that somebody says. I know if my friends say something that's a little bit off color, I'll view that a little bit differently than if somebody walking down the street says something to me off color.
You remember you posted the K-pop thing?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Because then I was like, and I hated to retract to Ori because I didn't accept it, but I'm like, baby, in Africa, them kids, like, they like took tape and put it around their eyes and wear clothes and run around like they're Chinese people fighting karate. I said, like, it's the same things happening on the other side. Don't be fooled. Yeah. Like,
no,
there's
no.
victims
no,
here.
No, I think we are all capable of gross cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
And
gross.
I think that we are, the thing about it is, and I don't want to wax philosophic for a moment, but
please
like,
do.
We have progressed so far in the terms of globalization and in terms of access to information and media about cultures that are not your own. Like, if I want to learn how the kids is dancing in, you know, somewhere in Africa, I just go and, like, search for multitudes of videos.
Right.
We didn't have that before. So I think we're all learning from each other. We're all taking from each other.
Yes.
We're all appropriating. Where I always kind of distinguish between respectful appropriation or co-opting or whatever and disrespectful is that, do I attribute the source of this? Do I say, well, this is where I got this from and this is how I'm making it my own? If I'm authentic in that, then I feel like then it's valuable. If you're just saying, oh, I'm doing this new thing, but I'm not really taking any credence to where it came from or who did it before me, then I feel like that is cultural appropriation.
You know what's so funny? I'm about to say something that's about to get all of us mean, like letters.
I am not really, okay.
I kind of sort of believe in cultural appropriation, but I don't.
Because
I think people are allowed to like what the hell they like.
Absolutely.
And
I'm not saying
that
at all.
No, what I'm saying is I cannot get mad for somebody putting on an African headdress who is not of African descent or something, walking around in it, maybe knowing what it is.
Yeah.
I can't be like, you don't know what that is, so you can't wear that.
See, I don't really think that's cultural appropriation.
But wait. But then, when I ask them something about Africa, and they go, I don't know. How don't you know about this? Have you ever been there? So I'm like, what the fuck am I going to get? So I can't yell at you for what you don't know and yell at you for what you do know.
You're right about that.
That is where I'm coming from with
that. It's kind of the same thing, like, when we expect people to know how to, like, talk about sexuality and gender,
like,
and then they make a mistake and get on them for, like, making a mistake.
That, I get that, but like you just said, all this information is right there in front
of
you.
But what I'm saying,
I think if you took the time to learn how to properly wrap a headdress,
I'll put it this way,
and not know what I mean.
I will say this much, and this is not me. I'm always have been other side point this out.
Yes,
as a people of color, we make excuses for other people of color more than we do white people.
We do.
So when the white people
but
do,
you, no, 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 but you personally,
but no. So remember when I was in, I told you when I was in high school.
And you got called African Jungle Bunny.
All the black kids.
Yeah.
And when I tell people that, well, you know, it's because of the white oppression under the black kids.
No. They were assholes. No.
That's what I was told. Yeah. I'm just saying. That's the excuse people made for them. So I can say there's books available to you and there's things too. Mm-hmm. So we have to also hold each other to that standard. Every person to that standard. Mm-hmm. Every person.
I agree with that.
Standard.
And I think that we, as Black Americans, and I can't speak
just
for all
general,
Black Americans.
Just in general, I'm talking about every race, of course.
Yeah. Let's extend it to everyone. You're always going to be more sensitive to things that affect you culturally. And
well, that, and we also
culturally.
Know as Black people right now, we're standing on top of the persecution pyramid. I mean,
well,
like,
I wouldn't. I
for
would,
now,
I
mean, like,
yeah, we're up there,
right? We're,
but
you know,
being cisgender men, we're not at the top anymore of that
exactly.
persecution pyramid.
You know, we're not ideal others anymore.
In fact, some people would say that we, as like normal, quote unquote, cisgender Black gay males, receive privilege. But we'll go into that at another point.
You know, I hate that cis word. It just sounds like I got some type of disease. I just hate the word.
Because we've never, it's never been presented as one or the other. Cisgender exists because transgender exists, and we need something to counterbalance.
I think cisgender exists because heterosexual transgender exists.
Well,
that's what I'm going to say.
Maybe, but
I've never. I'm sorry.
It's an attempt to normalize the language and
you know
bring balance.
Is that what we're talking about here?
Because right now we have what's considered normal and then transgender. So cisgender is a way to shift that dynamic so that there's no power in being. Yeah.
You know why
cisgender.
It's so weird to me because of
you're
all
now
my
labeled.
My transsexual. No, it wasn't. And my transsexual friends and all of them. Most of the transsexuals I hang around with, I want to say the T word, but I can't. I know
well,
that.
Thing.
That's what
okay.
I'm used to.
Yeah.
That's what they told me when they use, and that's what I have on
but
my
we
office.
But we come from a world of drag queens. We don't come
it's
from...
It's what I mean, the gay transgender word versus the heterosexual transgender word,
you know,
which is very different.
Yeah. But see, we live in a world where the goal is not to be unclockable anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know. They don't. That's out the window now. Before, if you were unclockable, that was
right.
That was the world you lived in.
And if you don't know that word, passable is the more generic term.
Yeah,
If you were serving fish,
right?
Yes.
And that's not the case anymore. So
Because we've expanded how we
view the spectrum
has
opened
gender,
up now.
And I think there's anything wrong with that.
No, it's great.
I think there's anything wrong, but it's really interesting. Like someone I hang around. The transsexuals that are more homosexual based, which is very different from heterosexual based.
Very different.
I'm curious. I want to for the listeners and for myself. Can we distinguish? Do you mean that? Do you mean transgender people that are homosexual versus
transgender
people that are heterosexual?
Transgender people who came
In gay life.
Transgender people who came through in gay life.
Okay.
Who are
You're talking about like the Laverne Coxes versus the like. Caitlyn Jenner.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you see,
people that lived a large part of their life as a heterosexual person or a cisgender person and then transitioned later in life to become
because
transgender.
Because I find the heterosexual transsexual is the one that is 90% most offended by a lot of things versus the quote-unquote homosexual transgendered who has lived the life and the struggle of both sides were in the community.
Well, I think it gets into a really interesting intersection that I'd love to bring some people of trans experience
can I just
on
say
to talk about.
Quickly?
Go ahead. Yeah.
But I feel like it's the heterosexual transsexuals trying to make all the rules that we have to abide by.
Well, you know what?
That's where I'm getting the thing. It's like Caitlyn Jenner's of this world are the one making the rules to tell me how.
Well, she has her own community.
Yeah,
there are probably women just like Caitlyn Jenner who have her experience that are supporting Ted Cruz.
Absolutely.
And that
because
do
they're women.
In her because they're women.
Because they're women. Let's get that right. They're women. They're white women.
They're rich white women.
Yes.
Rich white. And that ladies and gentlemen, is the whole point.
Yeah.
That they're rich white women. And so they're going to be
so
that rich
like
white
people
women.
Can miss it. So that Laverne Cox is very. Laverne Cox is the one.
If you look to her talk, you would think she's still one of the girls.
Yes. Because she functions that way.
She does. She functions like a gay man.
She says the T word the way the girls did. That's how the girls told you to call them when you didn't call them drag queens. You call them that.
Yeah. I am not a drag queen.
I am a... Yeah. That's what they said. But in the, on the flip side of things, someone who does not live in the gay world, who actually transitioned
and
within,
doesn't want to be affiliated or associated with that life,
they think that is offensive. Uh-huh. And that's when that whole thing happened, we all just kind of went, everyone was just like, what is going on?
People oh, I didn't so say that
confused.
At all.
No, not you, Bobby. Yeah. People got confused.
Well, and I saw, really, when I saw the...
It was all because
the separation,
of
it was real. Well, it was absolutely yeah. RuPaul, but it seemed to be like a class thing. Like
yeah, that's true.
Girls with certain, you know, access
because
to power and privilege went one
like,
way and
oh,
others went another
the,
way.
Oh, you got she-male on RuPaul, which was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Ooh, girl, you got
the
she-male.
Mm-hmm. It was like the tongue-in-cheek. But yeah. once again, when things that are underground come to light,
right.
they're up to a different level of scrutiny.
So I was like, "What? There's nothing offensive. It's just, it's really like, wow.
Anyway. Well, here's the thing. It's the non... trans girls, they're the one that made the big stink of it.
Yeah. Right?
Like, yeah. oh, I, bitch, girl, go ahead and eat your damn granola somewhere and shut the fuck
I
up.
Hate, I hate them. I
you're your people. Those are girls in Bushwick. Those are your people.
Those are not my people.
Yes, they
I
are.
Live, honey, I live
you,
in so Bushwick.
You live amongst them, honey.
I live amongst them, but I live in Bushwick. They're not my people. Let's get that right. Are the people in your Bronx your people?
Ooh.
Yes, bitch, we're all poor together.
No,
yeah,
yes,
I know, that's
feel.
Right.
Are they your people?
We're in this love
Can you
together.
Lean to the mic and say my people in the Bronx are my people?
Yes, they are.
No, I said say it.
I'm leaning into the mic. You just pushed me into it.
Mm-hmm.
They are. The Bronx people are my people.
Okay, we got that on the motherfucking note, y'all.
Yep.
The next time she tried to come for me.
She said it. It's recorded.
She said it's recorded. Bitch.
That's what she said. That's
so we got a few minutes left. Yes. We got a few minutes left, but
that was
we
a
didn't.
Good conversation.
We didn't. I know we didn't talk nothing about politics.
Girl, we don't care.
Okay. here, can I have a quick moment here? Can I just say, how upset I am that Melissa Harris Perry is
yes.
gone.
Okay. So
because okay, here thing. Part superficial. Those were relationship goals. That you
like,
know
which one
that you and your man get to wake up in the morning, have y'all coffee and watch Melissa Harris Perry
right.
together.
Right? Have you
like you know
have your little coffee and croissant?
Yes, okay. yes bitch.
Yes.
You know, and you lay in bed and y'all argue, y'all yell at the TV together. Mm-hmm.
Who's gonna cook breakfast because you don't eat eggs?
Well, girl, I mean, he can make his own shit. You know, I will learn. You know, there are sacrifices that we have to make. Shit.
So those of you that don't know, there's been some controversy around the. Previously, I guess it's now previous, yeah. the Melissa Harris Perry show, about a month ago, MSNBC started to change the dynamics of their coverage.
Yeah, there were a lot of
preemptions. And there was a lot of preemptions of all of their major programs.
All, yeah, especially on Saturdays.
Especially on Saturdays. So Melissa Harris Perry, who hosts a show from 10 to 12
10 to 12
on Saturdays
and Sundays.
Sundays.
Yeah.
She's a professor at Wake Forest University in politics.
God, she was
she's brilliant. She was
Maya Angelou's TA. Think about that.
What?
Yeah.
She TA'd with Maya Angelou. Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't even know that.
Think about that.
Oh,
oh gosh, she did rise. Time to praise him.
Praise him.
She was one of our voices. She was one of the voices that we looked to. She was an ally for a queer community. She always lifted voices
and
of color, queer voices of color.
Fair.
She was always very
biracial, right?
Yeah, she is biracial.
I love the fact she always identified
with her militant father.
Mm-hmm. I think she always identified as biracial,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and she rode that line.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could do that now.
Well, mm-hmm. no, but I
you don't have to choose.
You don't have to pick
it.
Black or white.
Yeah,
I love the fact she didn't have to pick, but she was so fair. She was aware of who she was mm-hmm. within the country, but she was aware that she was this.
Yeah,
I thought she was a brilliant woman. Sometimes her daughter had that bad hairstyle, but I'm just saying, no shame.
But like I said, like you, I would never thought in a million years I would see a panel discussion on Black trans issues.
Yeah.
On girls that we know,
because Sharon Obiko was on that panel. I'm pretty sure
Monroe France, who went to Ohio State, who's I think the VP of diversity at NYU now.
Yeah,
he was on there,
yeah.
and like it's such a loss. There were such great voices that
she'll be back somewhere else.
She will be back somewhere else.
I see her
somebody's
like on YouTube
gonna give
or something.
Her a contract. Because I feel like especially now that voice was so necessary, and the people that she brought to that show, we really need to hear from
academics. Yes. Like, where else are you going to have, you know,
policymakers, people,
right,
that
an academic discussion
of that were important
of
to communities
feminist
of color.
Issues and formation?
Absolutely,
you know,
right.
I mean, this was
and that was really what tipped the scales was because they told her that she could not talk about formation on that show because they had preempted for political coverage.
Right.
So basically, she was supposed to do the same type of political coverage.
I did not know that.
That all the other anchors do.
No, she's like, bitch, no. Like, do you understand this is why people come to Nerdland?
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, as much as, you know, me and Beyonce have a relationship, but that was a very important thing that needed to be discussed.
Right. It was a think piece. It was a televised think piece, and I miss that.
Like I always said, no matter how selfish an artist's intention might be, if there are more people help from it, it's great.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of discussions came out of that video.
Oh, yeah.
That was directed.
Discussions that wouldn't have been had in spaces that wouldn't have even known to have the discussion.
Or my thing is, I looked at it, it pretty much formulated discussions in-house. Like, girl, let's talk about this amongst other black people. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. Let's have that conversation.
Yeah. I think a lot of that, this conversation needs to be happening. I think a lot of times people need to be talking to other people. I mean, like I said, I've recently found myself, I talked to a friend the other day who was also African, talk about my African household, you know, the dirt in our household, how, you know, we like to start wars when we get mad. It's true.
It is true.
Yeah. It's true, bitch. Yeah, I mean, it's true. You stole my chicken, honey. I'm going to fuck up your whole country just to make sure you don't come back to steal my chicken ever again. Am I lying?
I feel like there's so much I need to learn.
Girl, it's true.
Girl, you see her. You know she's hateful.
Mm-hmm.
Learn from that.
I'm not hateful. I'm very clear. I always
She'll tell you, I'm going to kill you.
I'll tell a girl, I'm going to fuck you up probably in the next 3 years.
Yeah.
So she knows.
She'll just be looking over her back.
You have 36 months to, you know, figure it out.
And I do it. And when I do
right,
it,
bitch.
I,
yes!
And I'll be like, remember back in 97, I told you I was going to fuck you up?
Here I am.
Yeah. I remember in 1999, you told me I'm going to steal your chicken. Hey, girl, I'm here. I'm worth the chicken.
Yes. So we're going to talk more about politics over the next couple weeks. We're going to bring in some people and break stuff. Because it's getting real, guys. It's getting real.
It's getting little dick real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Girl. Literally, they are talking about dick size now.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
there's nothing.
Really?
This is the thing we're
doing now. Yeah, that was the short dick homage. Literally. We didn't get to talk about it too much, but there was one part of the last Republican debate because
Marco
Rubio.
Talk about small hands and little dicks.
This is
what they're doing
joke
now.
About Donald Trump's hands, saying that he had small hands and, you know, what it means when a guy has small hands. So during the debate, guys like, you know, Donald Trump's like, well, Marco Rubio, or Little Marco, as he calls him, you know, is talking about my hands. I don't see what's wrong with my hands. And as for the other thing, I get no complaints.
This is what we're doing.
Talking
now.
About his dick.
So they have become frat boys.
They are
yes.
frat boys.
They
now
frat
it's
boys.
Just on display.
A lightweight yeah. live.
Oh, yeah,
don't
we all
at
do.
The same time.
I'm kind of curious to see if it's big, only because I'm always curious to know if it's big.
I mean, on another topic, which is pure psychological, I love how male or female. When pushed to the wall, we all revert to like such
crass,
fuck you, you stink.
No, you know? Oh gosh, where you know when you're on the schoolyard like, antics.
The dudes have fought about everything.
Right,
else.
It's like locker room.
Well, they haven't
like,
because they have no real stuff. They're not having substantive
There's no
arguments.
Discussions about
right.
platform or
no,
anything
but,
like
right.
that.
No, you can have the two smartest men in the world. They can fight.
Bernie
and disagree.
Sanders is not talking about his big dick.
They will always get to
Democratic debate. It's a shame. It's a hot mess. I'm really sad.
I don't want to know about. I don't want to know.
I know Hillary got the last dick, honey.
Right. Whoa! She does.
She
honey.
Does.
You have that large clip.
That's a whole nother one I'm curious about. That's a whole different
Wow, girl.
Yeah, sorry, that was a little loud, y'all.
No, that was great.
Yeah, great timing.
So we've come to the end of another show.
Yay!
So glad to be back on the air with y'all
now
live.
Now it's time to say goodbye.
Yes, we will be back again next week with all kinds of fabulousness. All the things that y'all girls love about Queer State of Mind. Make sure to check us out online at
www.radioqueerminded.com.
Also, make sure to get us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. You can search for Queer State of Mind. It's all up there. You can find us. Download us. Add us to your favorites. And also, make sure to check out RadioFreeBrooklyn.com. You can check out all the great shows that we have on the network and get something new to listen to this Saturday.
Right. You can find Shady on the corner.
Not on the corner.
You can find Justin nowhere.
Y'all are silly. For all of us here at Radio Free Brooklyn, I'm Ori Givens. Thanks for listening to Queer State of Mind.
Queer State of Mind is produced by the Queer Minded Radio Network, a queer people of color focused radio community. Thank you for listening. Find out more about Queer Minded Radio Network, including our other shows, news, and more on our website at www.radioqueerminded.com.